As the holiday season winds to a close, you might be searching for things to do that do not involve leftovers or the disposal of wrapping paper. This is the week when gray whales can be spotted in the ocean. It is Winter Whale Watch Week. Oregon State Parks brings in extra people to help would-be watchers spot whales. We'll talk less about seeing whales right now than hearing them. Our first guest knows whales and what they sound like, and he provided some samples for us to listen to. Jeff Jacobson is a senior marine biologist at BioWaves, Inc. and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you.
Did your fascination with whales start young? I gather it's been with you for a while.
I fell into it when I was studying oceanography. And just a friend said, hey, let's go watch killer whales, and that was it.
You were lost from that point forward, huh?
Well, it's the place, among other things. This is northern Vancouver Island in British Columbia, which is another paradise, and the whales were a fantastic part of it, and the people studying them and everything else, it just kept going, you know?
Tell us about the work that you do at BioWaves, what BioWaves does generally and what you do within the realm there.
We do surveys for marine mammals, cetaceans in this case, dolphins and porpoises and whales, and we use their sounds to identify them and to localize on them and find out who's there. When we're trying to figure out how many whales are in an area, it started out just by looking for them, and over the past couple decades, it's been shown that you need to listen for them as well, because you can listen at night, and you can, when the wind, you know, the sea condition's too bad to see them. So we drag hydrophones, underwater microphones, through the water behind the boat and listen all night and are able to identify them to species or close enough and count them sometimes.
So each species sounds a little different from the next one?
They do, yeah, a lot like the birds in your backyard.
All right. So, and then do individuals within each species? Can you tell, you know, from whale to whale sometimes by the vocalizations?
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah, it looks like some dolphins, like bottlenose dolphins, etc., have signature whistles so that they're able to tell each other apart. Killer whales, there's nuances to their calls. Figuring it out at that level to a pretty exact way is still cutting edge for most of the species and most of the work that people are doing.
All right, so it was a little tricky to get beyond species identification. Let's listen. I want to hear one of the files that you sent along ahead of you. Song Elements is this one. It's a fairly short one. Let's hear what this sounds like.
Okay.
Wow, that's a bunch of different sounds. Jeff Jacobson, what's happening there?
Well, that's a bit of a contrivance on my part in that, you know, that's a 12-minute long humpback whale song.
Uh-huh.
Where I've taken each theme and only repeated it once, but I sped it up like 13 times to make it last only 13 seconds instead of the 12 minutes. And so it increased the pitch of the sound. So they sound a lot higher, those notes, and go a lot faster. So it's going to sound more like a mockingbird in your backyard versus a nice, long, slow, drawn-out humpback song that takes 12 minutes.
Did the pitch change along with the speed?
Correct. Yeah,
right. I asked this because
the pitch goes up.
So I asked this because it would seem like some of those lower sounds would be maybe even hard for humans to hear.
And humpback whales, some of those sounds get pretty low, but you can hear most of their song, their sounds, when you jump in the water with them. The bigger whales, the blue whales, the fin whales, etc., they are lower than we can hear. They're at around 12 to 15 hertz and cycles per second. And humans can hear from 20 to 20, 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. And so you can hear the upper harmonics of blue whales if they produce them.
Mm-hmm.
In some parts of the planet, they don't. They only have that one sound. They're really good at making one low, loud sound, and you can't hear it. It's too low. And then there's the dolphins on the other side that are making frequencies so high you can't hear them that way either.
Oh, because they're too high.
Too high for us.
Yeah. Jeff Jacobson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, senior marine biologist at BioWaves, Inc., and we're talking about whales and whale sounds. You can join us 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So do all whales vocalize?
Yeah, it seems like. Some of them, the dolphins or the porpoises, like the harbor porpoise we'll have out here, smaller ones, as far as we can tell, they only make clicks, echolocation clicks. Mm-hmm. And those are such high frequency, like 150 kilohertz, 120 kilohertz, that we can't hear them, but neither can the killer whales. So the killer whale predation may have pushed their signals to the point where they're hiding.
Oh, yeah. I remember having a discussion about another animal in the tropical rainforest of the Pacific that figured out to move its vocalizations above the level where its predators could hear.
Yeah.
So great adaptation. We have another file here I want to play. This is the sound of gray whales. So let's play the gray whale file. All right, looks like that's not going to happen. Not quite sure what happened there, but what do you know about the vocalizations of gray whales that make them distinct?
The gray whale sounds seem a lot simpler to our ears. You would have noticed that right away in comparison with the humpback song. And there's lots of sources folks can go to online to hear complete song and all that. Humpback song may... By our definition, it's the second most complex song in the world next to ours in the way it's structured and the way the structure changes over time. And gray whales are a lot simpler. And they do it a lot, and they'll be doing it now in their migration, and it seems to be they do it more when they're in the mating mode, when they're doing their displays for one another. And there was the end of that recording that sort of caught my attention and is part of a series of, say, of listenings where it sounds like bongo drums, and it sounds like two players at the end are playing. There's two notes going at once in a polyrhythmic kind of feel, and that's really fun. And then in the humpback song, they'll be able to change from really low and loud notes, low growls, like at the end of that thing, all the way up to really higher frequencies, much like a bird will when it shifts from one syrinx to the other. They have two vocal apparatuses, one for low frequency, one for high. And Joy Reidenberg, who's done a lot of anatomy on this, says, yeah, there's two places in the anatomy of large whales where they could do low and or high frequencies. They shift from one to the other. We're still figuring that out. And then you get to the bowhead whale in the Arctic, and they're able to produce two sounds completely different, that one's wavering, one's pulsing and knocking, and it's even more complex in that sense than what humpbacks can do physiologically. But their song is so wild and out there and variable that we're just beginning to pretend we have an understanding of what they're doing.
We're talking to Jeff Jacobson about whale sounds on this Winter Whale Watch Week on the Oregon and California coast. He's a senior marine biologist at BioWaves, Inc. and has recorded lots of whale sounds over the years. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So when you talk about breaking down the patterns, we know approximately how they make them and what to expect in whale song. Do we know anything really about what they're saying or what they're trying to communicate, if it even is communication?
Well, yeah, good one. Because we're kind of stuck with this idea of language and sequential words and such. But there's so much in what we're understanding of each other, even not being in the same room, that comes from a vocal intonation and context and like that. And for all the rest of the animals, that's a lot, that you can tell your emotional state, where they are. Maybe there's a predator flying by the context of that particular group. And that's certainly happening with all the whales and dolphins as well. And it seems to be a mating display in a lot of them, in that with the humpback whales, only the males are making those songs, those long, elaborate songs. And they all copy that same song and stay with that same song, even if they're singing, say, off of Right Here, Right Now, or off Japan or Hawaii, all the way across the North Pacific, they maintain the same song.
Let me see if we can get on to one of the other files. Will any of those play, Colleen? Like Bone Song, maybe? Not quite sure what happened with it. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Jeff, these are in real time?
No, that's a recording I think I made.
But I mean, it's not compressed in time.
Oh. No, correct. This is what you would hear if you were listening. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
So on this Winter Whale Watch Week, what are the grays doing?
I'm sorry?
On the Winter Whale Watch Week, what are the grays doing? Where are they migrating to?
Right now they're coming from as far as up as Alaska or even Russia, all the way down to the lagoons and or the Baja Peninsula along the west coast of the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. And that's where all the gray whales will stage and be mating and giving birth. Outside the lagoons, inside the lagoons, all over the place.
It sounds like spring break for the gray whales.
Woo-hoo-hoo, yep.
So, but then they turn around and come back in March, is that right?
Yeah, March, April, May, the moms and kids are coming back last. The mom's got to get that kid strong enough to swim 3,000 miles or better all the way back up to the Arctic.
And is it like clockwork, this movement? It's thoroughly dependable for approximately when you're going to see the gray whales going north and south?
This, too, is changing with the warming of the Arctic. It seems to be, when the Arctic freezes over, it's like the refrigerator door slamming shut, and that's been pushing the whales out of the foraging areas and further south on their southbound migration for decades. And now that relationship is getting questionable in that they're able to stay up there longer with less ice in the Arctic. There could be more habitat foraging for gray whales. It could be a good thing for gray whales. And but by and large, yes, that this is an ancient tradition of theirs of migration and gathering down in Mexico. El Nino, they could go further south.
And any effects from the warm water blob in the Pacific this year, or the toxic algae bloom that produced all that domoic acid that crunched the Dungeness crab fishery until about now?
Not sure about that one. We haven't had what we call an unusual mortality event, where a whole bunch of gray whales come up dead on the beaches that where you can detect the domoic acid in them for the gray whales. And I haven't heard anything, any connection between, say, the domoic acid or the red blob. It seems a lot of the gray whales went further north to forage this summer, but we're still behind on comparing our catalogs on individual gray whales to try to tease out those movement patterns.
Do you tend to follow them each time they come past? Is that
as often as we can get out on the water and take identification photographs of the individuals. And there's a group of gray whales that doesn't go to Alaska, it seems. They just stay between, say, Northern California and Vancouver Island, Southeast Alaska. And this small group of about 200 gray whales, it's been shown that their calves will remain here, and the group is growing. And you can see those individual whales all summer long foraging here instead of in Alaska. And, say, off Crescent City, where we go, there could be 40 or 50 whales, and I've only been watching them since 2010, but already I can tell individuals and say, I saw you 2 years ago, and look, you've got a calf this year. How cool is that? Looking good.
Oh, that's fun. I want to play a little more here. We got a Bone Song, which can play in the background while we talk the rest of the way here. Let's get a little of this, little listen to this. So, obviously, we can't put our microphones and radio in the water. Tell us about the equipment you use to get this stuff, Jeff.
Well, we have basically a waterproof microphone. We call it a hydrophone. And in the case of this recording, it just dropped into the water next to a singing humpback whale. And recorded on a cassette tape, this one, but now it's gone digital. And that's the way the whole field was for so long, just dangling hydrophones next to a whale. And now the technology's gotten to the point where we have hydrophones that are on the bottom ocean and being listened to by biologists. And
I'm reminded of Rhapsody in Blue with that.
Well, it always catches my attention because right there in the song, the whale is coming up to the surface to breathe.
All right.
And when he's doing the so he paused, and that's when he breathed, and then he'll go back down. So whenever that song came up, we would sort of look up from our stupor and go look for the whale to identify him. Still works.
It really does. So, and it sounds like the fascination is still there. I was just curious if hanging out with the gray whales is sort of like hanging out with the family dogs after a while.
Oh, it is. When you get to know any critter by as an individual, and it's the same individuals over and over again. It's not thousands of them, whether it's the sparrows in your backyard or whatever. And they all have personalities, and they all have histories. And that gets very alluring at an individual personal level.
So during this whale watch week, you mentioned some, you know, whether the conditions allow you to go out there or not. How have the conditions been on the ocean?
Downright snotty for a couple months now, but right now it looks like we're getting a good break in the weather, where we'll have calm winds and seas. We'll be getting out on the water, and anybody along the coast should have a good time spotting the gray whales as they go south, just packs of blows moving south.
Mm-hmm. So everything looks like it's on schedule, and things are going as they normally would?
As far as I could tell, but it's gray whales. They vary. It, you know, once you get it figured out, they do something else.
Wow. It's been really an education. It's great to hear the recordings. Thanks so much for sharing those with us. Jeff Jacobson is senior marine biologist at BioWaves, Inc., and we've been talking about whale song and hearing a lot of whale song, too. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet, anytime.
All right, take it easy. Winter Whale Watch Week goes on right up until the first of the year. And again, on the Oregon coast, you can have guides, volunteer guides, or standing by to help you find the whales.